This morning we've come as far as the great physician in our studies. These are different truths that we've heard over the years. At least I can remember often hearing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is the healer today. He is the great physician, and for many years, and it continues to this day, people call the camp and ask for prayer for healing. Why? Because over the years, people have prayed in this place. And so let's continue to be people of prayer, people of faith. Pray one for another that ye may be healed, the Bible says. And so we come in accordance to his word. Oftentimes Jesus would say, bring that person to me, bring him to me, bring him to me. And he would lay his hands on them and touch them. And so that's number 6 in our study book. And we're going to begin in Exodus 15. Now in the history of the Israelites, the people of God, what has just taken place in the previous chapters in Exodus? Yes, God brought them out, right? Brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and opened the Red Sea for them and parted those waters, and they walked through on dry ground, and then Pharaoh's army trying to pursue them were swallowed up in the sea. And then we have that song of triumph, Moses and Miriam praising God for the victory that he had given them. And then they came to this place, and the waters were bitter. There was no water for them to drink. Then Moses, verse 22 of the 15th chapter, brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness. And there they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they were come to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah, or bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there in the context, we often refer to this, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha, you can put that down in your book. This is one of the compound names of God in the Old Testament. There's Jehovah Rapha, there's Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. There's Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord my righteousness. There's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, right? You've heard these names before? And you even see on the back of your book there, Jehovah Jesus. I think the thought there was that Jesus is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is the one who provides all my needs. He was the ram that was stuck in the thicket, as it were, in that story of Abraham. And so Jesus is Jehovah. He fulfills the covenant that God made with his people. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the covenant names of God. God is there, Jehovah Shammah. I might have missed one, but you get the picture, right? And so here it was Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, right? The Lord that healeth thee. You see that? The end of verse 27, for I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And so right from the outset, God is promising his people to do something for them that he was not doing for the nations round about. And why was it? Look back. What does it say? Tevin, what does it say? What are the conditions for this promise? Huh? Verse 26, what does that say? Read that first, Tevin.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in the sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon Egyptians, for I am Lord, and I am the Lord that heal thee.
Amen. And so as we walk in his ways, as we live in obedience to his word, we have the right, the privilege to claim these promises. And again, not because of our righteousness, but because of what Jesus has done for us. For us. Hallelujah. There's another story in the New Testament before we look at the reading this morning that always has impressed me in light of this thought that Jesus and that God desires to be our healer. Do you remember the story about the man at the pool of, is it Bethesda? And he was waiting next to that pool. And what was he waiting for?
An angel to come stir the waters.
He was waiting for an angel to come down and stir the waters. And the person that got into the pool first was healed. So this is still taking place in somewhat of an apostate Jewish religious system. Right? I mean, just think about the system of religion that was being practiced when Jesus came on the scene. The hypocrisy of the leadership. And yet God is still manifesting himself as the healer. Is he the same? Yesterday, today, and forever. And so he was continuing to fulfill that promise, to be faithful to his covenant name, I am the Lord that heals thee. Up until the very time that Jesus came, God is desiring to heal his people. Now we know the story how Jesus healed the man, right? Here, Jesus now, the fulfillment, the one who was going to fulfill all those covenant names, he comes and he heals that man that's waiting for such a long time for healing. Hallelujah. And so that just encourages me to see that God is just, throughout the history, throughout the Bible, he's the God that heals us. And to this day, he wants to manifest that healing power for his people. Now, there are many stories in the Gospels of Jesus touching people. And I just want us to turn to Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 8. There are over, I think, 10 or 12 instances in Matthew 8 and 9 of Jesus healing and doing miracles and calming the storm. But we're not going to look at all of those this morning. I chose just two sections. And in the sections that we will look at, there are seven specific healings that are recorded for us, and then there are three general statements regarding healing. But just hold your hand in chapter 8. It's just interesting to note that if you go back to Matthew 4, the end of Matthew 4, hold your hand in Matthew 8, but in the end of Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And that kind of sets off this section. Now, the next main section is something we call the Sermon on the Mount, right? And so here we have the teachings that Jesus was giving to the people. And then if you now go to chapter 9, go back to chapter 9, you're going to see the same verse almost, the same words are expressed in 9:35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And what we have in chapter 89, following the teachings of Jesus, are the healings of Jesus. And so here Matthew presents for us this little picture of what Jesus came to do, to heal those that were sick, to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and to teach the people. It says in Matthew 9 there, he says he did this because he was moved with compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And so let's begin now in chapter 8. And I think what I'd like to do, not sure how long my voice will hold out this morning, so I'm going to let you work on this. Let's see, Brother Franz, you're almost right in the middle. I don't know what side to put you on. Would you like to be on the left or the right? The right is always the right choice, right? Okay, so you're on the right side. And starting with Tim, though, you're going to be on this side, my left, your right. And then everyone on this side will be the left. Okay, but this is what I want you to do. If you're on this side, I want you to look at chapter 8. And what verses did I give you? 1 to 17, right? Okay, so you guys got 1, chapter 8. Brother Tom, Brother Petfield. You guys, chapter 8, 1 to 17. There are four, and you're going to have, I think, 10 references, so you're going to write these in your book. If you need a pen, remind me, I'll give you one. Okay, so you're going to have four references to healing. I think three different stories and then a general statement. And then to my right, you're going to look at the 9th chapter, and it's verses 18 to 35. Now, I know there are other accounts in those chapters, but I want you to focus on 18 to 35, just like it has at the top of your book. And I think there's another four or five references to healing, four specific ones and then the general, okay? So everyone understand? And then I'm going to call on you, and you'll give me one of them. So be prepared. All right, Brother Jonathan Hofflander? Not yet. All right, everyone know what we're doing? Now, both sides had 17 verses, so it was even. So when you're finished, if you're finished with your 17, you can look up, and I'll know where you're done. All right, good. All right, let's begin. And then we'll begin in chapter 8. So here to my right, what's the first healing that takes place? Anna, what is it?
He cleanses a leper.
A leper, okay. The man comes to him. What does he say?
He says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean."
Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, "Lord, if you're able." He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I'm sure he had heard about Jesus and what Jesus had done. And so then how does Jesus respond, though, Anna? What does he do?
He says, "I am willing, be cleansed."
And what did he do before that?
He put his hand in and touched it.
Okay, now what do you know about lepers?
They're considered dirty.
Right, did people touch them? Probably. This man probably had not been touched for many, many years.
Dangerous.
You said it was dangerous? Contagious, yes. It was a contagious disease. And so they had to live outside. They were outcasts. And here, what does Jesus do? He touches him. And he says, "Be thou clean. I'm willing, be thou clean." How thankful we are for a compassionate Savior who is not only able but is willing to meet our every need. He touches us. All right, next one. So you wrote that down now? A leper, right? Who's got number 2? There's only a few of you, so I guess I can pick on the boys. No, what's the second one?
He heals the servant.
He heals the servant? And whose servant was it?
Centurion.
Which would suggest that this was a Jewish person or someone else? Probably was a Roman, right? Right, because later on he says, I found not so great faith, not in Israel. And what's interesting about this story now? What do you think? How does Jesus heal this man or this servant?
From a distance.
The man says, you don't have to come to me. Jesus says, you want me to come to your house? And he says, no, you don't have to come to my house. I am a man under authority. And Lord, I believe all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And at that, Jesus marveled. And he spoke the word, be it unto thee according to your faith. Just as you've said, just as you've asked. And the servant was healed, it says, from that selfsame hour. Lord, send the word. Send the word into our hearts. Often my father has told us in conjunction with healing to get a word from God. Get a word from God and stand on it. And so here Jesus gives the word, sends the word, and the man is healed. All right, the next one. What did you write down, Johanna? And what was her need? And here again, he touches her, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. Isn't that nice? She began to serve them right away. And so we can bring, you know, maybe I've said this before, shared this before, countless times, or I can't even recall all the times that my father would pick me up when I was sick. Maybe it was a fever, maybe it was a cough, something troubling. He would just walk up and down in our house, and he would praise the Lord and pray for us. Bring us to Jesus. And the Lord met us, touched us. I'm here to this day, right? God touched us in our bodies. And so we can come to Jesus and expect him to touch those who are in need. Now there's another, two more in this eighth chapter. What's the fourth one here? It's not a specific healing, but it's a general statement about what Jesus did. Tim, do you see that? Did you find something?
Many healed in the evening were cast out by the demon.
Okay, say that again loud, nice and loud. Read that again, nice and loud.
He cast out all who were demon-possessed with the word and healed all who were sick.
Okay. So here we see he delivers people that are oppressed by the enemy, casts out the demons with his word, and heals all that were sick. And there's a verse that goes along with that. It's a fulfillment of prophecy, right? Matthew was, I think, the gospel that gives us the most fulfillment of prophecies in the New Testament, in that gospel. And what gospel? What prophecy does he refer back to? The one we find in Isaiah 53, right? Hallelujah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And so here Matthew is saying, look, this one, this Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, the picture that was given by Isaiah the prophet hundreds of years before, finding its fulfillment in Christ. I am the Lord that heals you. Hallelujah. By his stripes we are healed. All right, so that's chapter 8. Now we'll move to chapter 9. And we begin at verse 18. So what's the first? Yes, the synagogue ruler now is coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. Raised her from the dead. And then we have that second, right, in between in this story. What happened now?
The woman with the issue of blood was healed while he was on his way to raise the dead.
And what's unique about that story? Did he touch her?
No, she touched his garment.
Yeah.
Said your faith has made you well.
Some of the other Gospels give us a little bit more details, but you can see this woman probably bent over and weak and trying to get to Jesus through this crowd that was around him. And why? In her heart, she says, if I can just touch the bottom of his garment, the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she touched him, what happened? That healing power just flowed into her body. And what the physicians could not do, the Bible says she had spent all her living, all her money on the physicians, wanting to be well. But Jesus imparted his life. And then the interesting thing was, right, he said, who touched me? Right, his disciples said, Jesus, this, you're crowded with all these people around you. You ask, who touched you? No, someone touched me in faith. Someone touched me and received help. Your faith hath made you whole. And so that's a good lesson for us. God wants us to reach out to him in faith and touch him, as it were. Lord, I know that you are able. Lord, I know that you can do anything. And I know if you would touch me, I'd be whole. I think these accounts are given to increase our faith and to encourage us to believe for his touch upon our bodies. And so this little girl, I don't think it has it here in Matthew, but while they're on the way, one of the other Gospels, while they're on the way, someone from this the ruler comes and says, your daughter has died. Don't trouble the master anymore. Don't. It's here? It's here in verse 23. Don't trouble him anymore. And what does Jesus say immediately to the man? What does he say? Well, it's not here. It's not in Matthew. But he says to him, as soon as that news comes, how do you think that man felt? Pretty discouraged, right? It's hopeless now. She's dead. It's over. There's nothing that Jesus can... What does Jesus say right away? He says to him, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. And so sometimes we're up against things that seem hopeless. And Jesus says, don't give up. Don't give up your faith. Only believe. And we know how he goes to the house and raises her up. The girl is not dead, but asleep. They probably said to Jairus, Jairus, why'd you bring this crazy man here? It says they laughed him to scorn. Jesus put him out. He put out the unbelievers. Put them out. That was another thought that comes to mind about this praying for those that are sick. Often we were instructed to be careful what we say in regard to this. Sister Robinson said, discussion always weakens faith. You ever go to someone and say, someone's not feeling, this is the condition, and the person says, yes, my uncle died of that. That's not really helping, right, too much, you know? You want them to pray, oh yeah, my uncle died of that, you know? But to just to look, and that doesn't mean we don't face the reality of the situation. But we want to make sure that we speak words of faith to one another. And that we point people to Jesus and the fact that he is able. And so Jesus right away. Did you want to say something, Sister Martha?
Brother Phil, I have a testimony too. I wasn't 12 years old, but I was 9 years old, and the doctor had given up on me. I had rheumatic fever. And for 2 weeks, I lay hemorrhaging from my mouth and nose, and my mother saw the gray in my face one night in the middle of the night, and she said to the Lord, don't let Martha suffer. Either heal her or take her home. And in the morning, I was up off the couch. It was a farmhouse, so she kept me down on a couch where the bathroom was. And I guess I hadn't eaten for 2 weeks. And I got off the couch and went to the kitchen. She said, "What are you doing off that bed?" And I said, "I'm hungry." And she called the doctor, and he said, "Give her anything she wants and bring her in to see me." He took electrocardiogram. He found nothing wrong with my heart.
Praise God.
I was 9 instead of 12, but it reminded me. Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's two more specific instances here in the 9th chapter. What's the next one now? Yeah, 2 blind men come, right? And what do they say to Jesus? Verse 27. "Hey, have mercy on us, thou son of David. Have mercy on us, thou son of David." Now, I, again, don't want to spend too much time here, but just the fact that they refer to him as the son of David. Now, what was the significance of that? Why didn't they call him Jesus? Have mercy on us, Jesus. Yes. Here, somehow, these two blind men had more sight and insight than all the seems of religious leaders around, the ones who should have known. Here they saw in Jesus the fulfillment of what they were looking for, this Messiah that was promised, the Son of David, the King that was going to sit upon David's throne, as it were. And they referred to him as the Son of David. Have mercy on us. And what does Jesus do? He takes them indoors. And he says to them, "Do you believe, verse 28, that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done unto you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. And then the last one in verse 32. Yes, I didn't, yeah.
Why do you suppose Jesus told them not to say anything?
I knew you were going to ask that question. You come back next year, brother, and we'll talk about it.
Did they disobey him by not disobeying?
Yeah. There's one more healing left in the chapter now.
The demon-possessed man.
Yeah, let's just go over that just a little bit. I don't think I really have an answer. Maybe Brother Tom does. I mean, he studied under Brother Gordon, so he has all the answers, right, for us. They were asking about why Jesus told them not to publish it, not to tell anyone. And then they went out and they told everyone. And so were they being disobedient? I don't know if these are real honest questions or not, brother, but I think they are. But...
In chapter 8, verse 4, Jesus told them, the leper, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony."
Mm.
Maybe he told them the same stuff, but that part didn't get recorded. Mm. Go first. Follow the rules the way they are now.
Right.
There was another situation where they went and spread it abroad, and Jesus couldn't do any more because of conflict that occurred. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was the Pharisees or whatever, but he just had to leave.
Yeah, the multitude thronged him so much he couldn't even come into the city in another place. And so he went out by the seaside and got out in a boat, you remember that? And, you know, pushed out into the water. So I think, too, it's an example for us. Maybe Jesus was trying to tell us something. When we pray for someone, or whether we have some great success and we feel God's used us, you know, the natural thing is, I'm going to tell people. I'm going to tell people what I've done. And Jesus says, "No, you don't have to broadcast it abroad. You don't have to tell people what I've done for you." It's an interesting paradox. I don't Of course, he wants us to tell. Another place, he said, now go tell your family. You remember the demon-possessed? Go tell your family what great things the Lord has done for you. So, Sister Sue, you had a...
Just thinking that people aren't always ready to receive. Though it were the most obvious thing, you know, they're still unwilling. And there's timing, God's timing in some of these things.
And in verse 35, I love this verse because of the order. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching and preaching and healing. And maybe these people needed more teaching and more preaching and then the healing. Number one is teaching, preaching, and healing. So maybe it just wasn't the right time quite yet. Nevertheless, they did.
What we would probably do, right? If Jesus touched us, we would tell everyone, right? All right, and then the last one here, the last healing, verse 32. Yes, he opened this person's mouth so he could speak. Cast out the demon, it says. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. And so here again, yes, people refuse at times to believe, right? When it's right there. So what can we take this morning? Can the Lord increase our faith? Along this line, we've been praying for our sister Edith Blumhofer. And we need to continue to pray. To believe that God is able. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, again we pray this morning as your people for our dear sister Edith. We pray that you would send her your word. Give her your word and power, dear God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Create faith in our hearts, Lord. To touch you, to reach out and touch the hem of your garment. Oh God, we're thankful for the testimonies we have of those that you have touched. And we pray that in this day, you would continue to lay your hand upon the sick and raise them up for the glory of God. Oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We ask you to help us to only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Hallelujah. If there are others, Lord, this morning who need your touch, I pray that you would cause us to reach out. Lord, I pray that you would touch me, Lord. Dear Father, dear Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We again pray for Sister Marie. Continue your good hand upon her, Lord. We thank you that you've kept her this past year through her different trials and things that have come, Lord Jesus, to maybe bring pain in her physical body. Lord, I pray that you would just touch my sister, touch our sister, Marie. And I thank you also for Dad. I pray that your healing power would continue to flow through his body. Thank you for the life that you've given, the divine life that is so evident in these saints that have walked with you, Lord. I pray that we too would learn to receive that life from above, moment by moment. And so we just commit ourselves to you for this day. We pray that we would walk in your presence. And again, Lord, fill us with faith. According to your faith, Lord Jesus, forgive us. But help us to get into your word, Lord, and to see that you are able. Make it ours, dear Jesus. I ask this that you may be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Healing is your right and privilege. It is God's place and appointment. You glorify and obey Him when you claim your portion. It is in the atonement of Christ for you. You step out by faith into the possession of that which Christ's death purchased for you.
Yesterday we were told to be still and know that I am God. And without a doubt, the Father is wanting us to sit still and know that God is walking in the camp.
Yes, Lord.
He's walking up and down in the camp. And just one touch is all we need. Or touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be healed. His saving power will give new life to thee.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to dismiss now. I just want to remind the staff and all of us that we meet at 4:15 today for prayer. And it's our staff prayer meeting, but the guests are welcome to join us and to pray with us for the needs of the camp. So God bless you. Have a great day walking with Him.